And Brother Leonard, for the sheet, I am one that is against Bible study guides, got Bible study booklets that a lot of people use, but this is excellent because what is he, and when I'll clarify that, why? Because Bible study guides always sort of guide you where they're thinking, where this here is guiding you into the Word of God, and you can look, like the first question on there, it says, what other Bible passages help you understand events described in verses 1 to 3 and so on? And he gives a lot of good searching points that will help us. I think I might be a little bit loud on here. I'm hearing myself a little bit loud anyway. My desire this morning to preach the gospel and why our brother... what's your name? Brian, thank you. I'm serious. It just his name just went. Anyway, I was up in Summerside preaching, and I was talking to a brother there, and this brother and I were talking about life in general, and he says to me, he says, Brian, we're talking about Brian. Of course, we talk about him behind his back, but he says, I asked Brian to speak at my funeral. I want him to take my funeral. Why? Because Brian preaches the gospel. Brian Taylor knows what the gospel is. And we're getting away from this idea what the gospel is. I was reading in Romans chapter 1. You don't have to turn there. We're going to turn to Luke's gospel chapter 23. So you can go there. We're going to have you out here in time to get your roast, so don't worry about that. Okay? But there's a verse in Romans that says, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, to the wise and to the unwise. As much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you and those that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. You can be saved this morning. You can leave this room having your sins forgiven. You can leave this room having the insurance of salvation. Because there have been people been sitting here week after week after week, hearing the message and going out that door unsaved. And you know what that means? They're going out to a lost eternity. This is a wake-up call. This is a wake-up call. We want you to be awake this morning. I was just, as I was looking up those verses, I know those verses by heart, but as you get older, you want to sort of reaffirm those verses. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Why is it the power of God? Because it saves people. It takes people from lost, guilty sinners and turns them into saints that have power over sin. You're not a victim anymore. You're a conqueror. You're an overcomer. Verse 17 says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. The righteousness of God in verse 17. But verse 18, there's something even more shocking. For therein is the wrath of God revealed. The righteousness of God, how to get right with God. Are you right with God? Look into your hearts. Look into what God says in His Word. If you were to die, I got a phone call. It was on Caleb's phone. I don't know if they didn't have my number. I got a phone call. And Dad, he says, this number come up on the phone. And as soon as he told me the number, my heart dropped, because I knew what it was. My best friend of 37 years went on to eternity. 1 minute he was sitting talking to his family, and then he sort of went to sleep. And then he woke up, and he looked. Gone. Gone, just like that. What does the Bible say? What is your life? It is like a vapor that passes away. Let's turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. And there were also two malefactors. That's verse 32. Another word would be evildoers. Bad guys, criminals, assassins, guys that you wouldn't want to hang around with. There were two malefactors or evildoers led with him to be put to death. And when they come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, the one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with him derided him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God." And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, "If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself." And the superscription also was written over him in the letters in the Greek and the Latin and the Hebrew, "This is the King of the Jews." And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, seeing that you are in the same condemnation? We indeed justly, or we are here because of our sins. For we receive the due reward for our deeds, but this man has done nothing amiss or nothing wrong." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." You know, the Bible is full of contrasts. This morning we're going to look at two men. One in the left-hand side of Jesus and one in the right-hand side of Jesus. We're going to look at three people. We're going to look at the Redeemer. We're going to look at the Rejecter. We're going to look at the Receiver. If we went to Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, you're going to read about two men before death. Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, you see two men at the point of death. Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, you see two men after death. Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, you see two people praying. And then you see two people in this chapter suffering. And then in Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, you see two people, one in the torments of hell and the other comforted in Abraham's bosom or paradise. This morning, there's two classes of people here, those that are saved and those that are unsaved. The Bible talks about those that are believers and those that are unbelievers. The Bible talks about passing from death unto life. When I grew up, I had this idea that God was a holy, righteous God and God was in heaven, and the Bible teaches that surely. But somehow in my mind, I had the idea that everyone had to wait until they died to find out where they were going. And you heard so many jokes as kids about St. Peter standing at the pearly gates and letting people in. And there's qualifications and all types of things, you know. But it's not a joking matter. People, each one of us here, you are a living soul that God has created. Let's go through this passage. Verse 32. It says they were, in the King James, malefactors. They had a reputation. They had committed crimes that were worthy of death. The Bible teaches that we sin in thought. Impure thoughts or sinful thoughts are sin. And then our words. There's a lot of blasphemers. Turn on any radio and you hear swear words on the radio. You see swear words on television. You know, there's a movie site you can go to and you go down the list and it says parent advisory. And then when you look there, it says sex and it tells you how bad it is. And then it says swear words, and it tells you the number of swear words that are in that movie. And then it tells you violence, how many people got killed in that movie. And then it talks about drug use and so on. Why would they tell us that? Are people concerned about those things? God is concerned. And every time you take the name of the Lord in vain, what does it say? God will not hold him guiltless. You are guilty before God every time you take the name of the Lord in vain. And sometimes I even hear Christians say, well, I can't help it, I slip. Do you? You're taking the name of the Lord in vain. God will not hold you guiltless. It's a serious thing to speak about God like that. Verse 33, we see their hope. And then when they were come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him. The Lord Jesus Christ was in the center. The both of them have equal access. One is on the left and one is on the right. There's no discrimination. They could have prayed at that moment, but they didn't. In one of the Gospels, we read that both of them blasphemed him. Both of them mocked him. Both of them heaped insults upon him. You know, some people say, well, if you read a gospel tract, sometimes there's a sinner's prayer in there. You know what the sinner's prayer is? Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. Have you ever said that prayer? I have sinned. I am guilty. I need forgiveness. Verse 34. And then Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The first words that left the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ was, Father, forgive them. My understanding of the text is that he didn't just say it once. He says, Father, forgive them, as he looks down at the soldiers that nailed his hands. As he looked out at the crowd that was in front of him, Father, forgive them. As he looked to the left and looked to the right, Father, forgive them. But you say, well, they did know what they're doing. The soldiers were taking orders. They didn't have any choice. But most of the time, we do have a choice, don't we? Sin is a conscious choice. Someone has said, I read this week, when it comes to sexual matters, when it comes to sexual matters, let your conscience be your steering wheel, not your, I said that wrong. But the whole idea is when you're making choices, you steer away from sexual invitations instead of saying, I'm going forward, and then I'll know how far to go, and I'll put on the brakes when I get there. It's real. We're humans. We have desires, and they're sinful desires. And sometimes we have to recognize, I am wrong, and God is right. Verse 35 says, and the people stood beholding, and the rulers and also derided him, saying, he saved others. Have you ever said this to yourself? Yes, Bill is saved, John is saved, Fred is saved, but I'm not saved. He saved others. Why aren't you saved? He can save you. Don't wait. Look around. You see evidence of people that are saved. Verse 36, and the soldiers also mocked him, saying unto him and offering him vinegar. They mocked him. So sometimes that's what your friends are doing. You know it's right. Give me just a little longer, for the world looks yet so bright. When I feel that I'm dying, I'll be saved, but not tonight. And then I want to think about the rejector in verse 39. The time is flying here. And one of the malefactors that were hanged, saying, "If thou be the Christ, save thyself and save us." He was proud right to the very end. He had such a short time to live, and yet he wasn't concerned. What do you think his first thoughts would be in hell after he left the side of the Savior? "I was this close to getting into heaven." You know, people like to name drop. "I died beside Jesus Christ." Imagine that. You know, there was a comedian that we read about his death a little while ago, Robin Williams. A year ago, he said this: "Death is God's way of telling you your table is ready. Ha, ha, ha." And now he's gone. There was a movie called The Bucket List. Two men, Jack Nicholson and Morgan Freeman, both were terminally ill. They had a list of things to do before they died. They were sitting and lying in hospital beds, and they were talking about these things. "I would like to do this, and I'd like to do this." And the other guy says, "Why don't you?" "Well, I don't have the money to do all that stuff." Well, one guy was rich, so they set out on their goal, and they wanted to accomplish all these things, see these great sights. Maybe that's what you're all about right now. You have your bucket list, and you're trying to do all these things, but you've forgotten the most important thing in life. The Bible says, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" One of the things in the movie was impressed upon me was that there were things wrong in his personal relationships that he wanted to set in order. I've been talking to the unbelievers up until this point. How about you as believers? Are there believers in this room that right now you can't go and shake hands with a brother? Make it right. Make it right. Pray to God. "Let me forgive that person. I know they've hurt me." God wants us to be in fellowship one with another. There was a country song, it was out in the last year, called "Live Like You Were Dying." Tim McGraw, one of the top country singers. But a man that comes home from the doctor and he has x-rays and he's looking at these x-rays and the doctor gives him the bad news. He's going to die. He says, "What did he do?" He says, "I went skydiving, I went Rocky Mountain climbing, I went 2.7 seconds on a bull named Fu Manchu." But the next line: "Well, I finally read the good book and took a good, long, hard look at what to do if I could had it to do all over again." That's what we're offering you this morning. Think about what is out there. Each one of us here, we're going to die. This week I'll be preaching at a funeral in Vancouver. I appreciate your prayers. It was one of the last things that Ken said. We talked about this many times. We knew that one day we would die. We've both lived sort of dangerous lives and some of the things that have happened to us. But the both of us are ready to go. And he was ready to go. And I hope you're ready this morning. Verse 42. We'll cut to the chase. Verse 41, when he looks at his friend, he said, "Don't you fear God? We're here because we deserve to be here. But this man has done nothing wrong." And then he turned to the Lord Jesus and he says, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Mary was at the foot of the cross. He didn't ask Mary. The priests were at the foot of the cross. He doesn't ask the priests. He turns to the Lord Jesus Christ and he said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And what did the Lord Jesus say? "Today you shall be with me in paradise." Today, the Lord will give you eternal life. There's a verse that spoke to me when I first heard the gospel, John chapter 3, how I got saved, John chapter 3. I'm not going to go into my testimony. John chapter 3 and verse 18. "He that believes on him is not condemned, I said, thank God I'm not condemned. But the rest of the verse says, but he that believes not is condemned already. So if you don't believe in Christ this morning, you are condemned already. You're just waiting till death takes you away and you're ushered into eternity and your words will be lost, lost, lost. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to Brother Brian as he gets up and speaks to us.